Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Every morning at 8 a.m., we take the best question you have for Mark Schlereth using hashtag question mark on social media and the text line. And now it's time for question mark.
Oh, I like this one. This is from Kelly on our RamosLive.com text line, 303-713-1043. Because you were gone the last couple of days.
Uh-huh.
Troy Rank was sitting in. While he was sitting in, what developed was my boring is better philosophy for offense. So Kelly asked a very good question. Mark, what do you think of Evans's boring is better idea for the Broncos offense?
Oh, I love boring is better.
Ah.
Boring is better to me is
vindication.
Boring is better to me is the same as keep it simple, stupid.
There you go, baby.
Execute the little things. Sweep the corners. When you do that, when you take care of the little things and you sweep the corners and you make all sure all those things are executed properly, you know what it leads to? It leads to the big things. Taking care of the little things gives you an opportunity to exploit the big things. And that's where you get the chunk yardage type plays. So I'm a proponent of run the ball, stay on schedule, the short completions. Make sure, as Bill Musgrave said, and make sure that we take the onus off our pass protectors. Make sure we give them the benefit of a quick passing game. Get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. Nobody can block some of the guys they have here on a consistent basis in this league, the way this league is constructed now. So I'm 100% on board with the boring strategy of offense.
Fantastic. Well, if you'd like to know more about my boring is better strategy, please read my column at 1043thefan.com.
Or his blog.
No. It's not a blog. I'm not a blogger. Please.
Kind of bloggy.
Not please. Not bloggy.
Little.
It's columnist D.
Okay.
We got to... I have in my hands...
We gotta find the mystery sound.
I have like three pages full of sound bites from players and coaches and everybody from yesterday's OTA. Right. I mean, it's a wealth of great sound.
Uh-huh.
And you keep, what are you looking for here?
There was a piece of sound, I'm not sure who it was, who essentially said he's played the game before.
Talk about DeMarcus Ware.
DeMarcus Ware, and therefore he sees things that no coach can see.
Okay, I think we got it. Here it is.
Yeah, I mean, when something's taken away from you, you really learn to appreciate it that much more. It's not forever, and it's really
this
not
is
long
Jake
either.
This is nothing to do with what I just talked about.
You know, just cherish every single rep you get out here.
Hey, guys, I think I found
it. That is Jake Butt. That's not it, is it?
Mike, shut up. I think I found it.
Okay.
Ben, play it.
It's Bush League psycho stuff. Laughable, man. I would have.
Hey.
I'll win the next Wednesday instead.
Woo!
That has to be it, right?
No. That's close. It's really, really close.
Wow, that's,
All right. What happened?
Memories of
what?
Banned and not banned.
What?
Don't clap.
All right, who else we got here?
You cannot lose
no, that's
games
not it.
In the NFL.
That is not it.
Win.
Let me see the.
Here's the cut sheet.
Okay, which Chubb cuts did you play already? Did you play Chubb 7?
Yes, we've been playing that one a lot. You think that's the one? All right, play that one.
Oh, dude. Little weenie.
No, that's not the one.
Just the fact that he knows the game inside and out. We watching film. He's seeing things that everybody else is like, what are you talking about? Nobody sees that. So his presence is calls like, hey, I'm a leader. Listen to me. I know what I'm doing. And when the guy has that much respect, he just want to follow.
That ain't pretty good though.
You think that's the one?
Yeah, maybe I just made some things up in my
own
head.
I think this is stuff that's only existing in Mark Schlereth's head.
Right.
So was that it?
No, probably not, but. Oh, what about Chubb 5? Play that one for me real quick.
Jesus. This is amazing.
Play Chubb 5 for me.
Chubb 5. Okay, Chubb 5, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Chubb 5. Number...
Oh, wait, no. Chubb 3. Play Chubb 3.
We just played Chubb 3.
No. Are you sure?
I mean, I feel like it's just different perspectives. I mean, a coach sees it from the outside in. The player just knows, like, what things. So the coach might see something that the player didn't see. You know what I'm saying? So it's just two different perspectives, and you just got to take both on.
Yeah, we did play that.
I played that 10 minutes ago.
I know.
Yeah, always working with us. I mean, whether it be with me or I see him working with guys like Wolf and all that. So, I mean, he's always trying to put knowledge in people's ear, and everybody trying to feed off that.
I don't know. I made it up. I made it up.
All that to realize that voices in Mark's head are telling him things.
I think you guys erased it. It was there.
Say this the way I'm going in.
D-Max the devil. Yeah. D-Max the devil.
There it is.
Go to my steakhouse. It's delicious.
That could have been it
that
right there.
Been it. That the hidden been sound. It. The hidden sound.
John Elway.
Angry. Do not like.
John Elway.
Angry.
John Elway.
Smash.
I wonder how D-Mac and John Elway's relationship is right now.
Frosty.
Do you think it's still frosty? Do you think it's gotten better?
No, I think it's frosty.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's frosty.
And it certainly didn't help with the whole, there's no way they'll draft Bradley Chubb. Why are they going to draft somebody that they didn't talk to? Yeah. Please.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
That's not good. So DeMarcus Ware was definitely the story, and he's so why stop there? If Bradley he can come in and make that kind of immediate impact with the players, and you've already got one assistant coach to buy in and not be threatened by it, why stop there? Look, I'm putting you on the spot to say great things about yourself, which I know you hate. Okay? Is there any doubt in your mind, please be honest, is there any doubt in your mind that you could walk in today, bring all the offensive linemen together, and start talking about things in a way in which offensive linemen would say, I hadn't thought about it that way. Do you think you could do that?
Without question. But of course I could. Because you speak a language that they understand. And the way, obviously the way you learn to play this game is by playing this game. And you understand the techniques that coaches sometimes coach that actually don't work in games, and how you have to adjust some of those techniques, and how you have to adjust techniques based on your body type, based on what you can and can't do. All those things make sense. Mike, and you know this, and I'm not tooting my own horn. I've been offered multiple jobs over the last several years by multiple teams. But not consulting roles, like, would you join our staff? Maybe as a consultant, but just the general managers have reached out to me. Would you consider joining our staff?
Are you confident that Shannon Sharp could walk into that tight end room and start pointing out things that would have tight ends saying, whoa, I didn't see that. Did you see that? Nope, I didn't see that.
How to run routes, how to set guys up. Yes.
Okay, then wait a minute. Now you're telling me that you guys can literally walk in off the street and impart knowledge that guys that have been doing it for years can't. And yet these are the guys that are coaching up these players. These are the guys that are coaching these young players in a league in which the time that you actually get to coach them has gone down dramatically. The LA Rams did a study that shows that it takes now 3 years under the new rules for a rookie to get the kind of teaching that it used to take in 1 year. So what is happening here? How much is the NFL and our NFL teams letting down their players with the caliber and the quality of coaching that they're getting.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of really good coaches. I think there's a lot of really bad coaches in the league. And you ask any player that's ever played, they'll tell you the same thing. There are several issues. This is just not go on coaching, and this is just not a league thing. One, you got to understand, Zach Martin just signed an $84 million contract. $84 million contract, $40 million guaranteed. Do you think he wants to go grind 18 hours a day after he's done playing? The other thing is that the coaches who have gone through the ranks, there has been a way it's been done. You come in, you're basically a offensive quality control guy in charge of drawing up plays and grabbing pins for everybody. And you got to pay your dues for a couple of years before you get to advance through the ranks. Frankly, Mike, you know what? I wouldn't do that. I'd be like, up yours. I know more about football than you'll ever know. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be your quality control guy. I want to coach. So you've got to understand that. Now, I didn't make that kind of play, that kind of money the players right today are making. But like right now, if I left what I'm doing, which I enjoy doing and working with you and doing my Fox stuff and all the things that I'm doing, to go into coaching, I'd have to take a pay cut.
And I'm not saying that Shannon Sharpe should all of a sudden give up what he's doing at FS1. I'm saying that the point that I'm making is that what does it say that these former players can walk in off the street and start to point out things that players haven't recognized? It speaks to, it's obvious what it speaks to. It speaks to that these guys aren't getting the kind of coaching that they need. And I'm not right dumping on the Broncos, because what we're talking about here is something that is endemic around the league.
Right.
And what I don't understand is that this is a league that sort of brags about the idea that they leave no stone unturned in the pursuit of winning football games. Well, I think we're pointing out a giant stone, a boulder that has not been overturned to try to get the best out of these players.
When I went to Houston to call a Texans-Niners game, there's a reason that Bill O'Brien has gone to multiple playoffs with, you know, the likes of Mallett and the likes of Hoyer and the likes of
T.J. Yates.
Yates and with these guys playing quarterbacks. You look at his staff, Mike. Last year I was there, their O-line coach, former good player for the Bills. Former offensive lineman, D-line coach, former really good player, bounced around the league for about 9 years, played a long time in Houston. Really good coach. Wes Welker on the staff. He was the guy that was, you know, picking up the pennies, the jerseys, you know, and he was being the offensive quality control guy. Pat O'Hara with the quarterbacks coach, former player, played with him in Washington, played for a while in the league. Larry Izzo, great special teams players for the Dolphins and the New England Patriots. There were a handful of other guys that all played in the league. And the issue is not that these coaches aren't decent coaches that never played or that didn't play at that level. It's not that they're not good coaches and they're not good at X's and O's and the strategy of the game and all that stuff. Again, it comes down to the nuance aspect of it, of understanding and having been in that situation, how to get yourself out of a difficult situation, or how to see it, how to anticipate based on formations, based on shades, based on alignment. Man, I can't tell you how much alignment will tip you off to what's happening. Just when you start to see an outside linebacker, like a Will linebacker, who's removed, who's a yard and a half deeper than he normally is and a yard and a half wider, it's not that much of a difference. But all of a sudden he's lined up over there, and what do you instantly think? Do we have a slot receiver out there? Oh, we do have a slot receiver. What's happening? Well, watch out for the safety, because they're exchanging responsibilities. and that Will linebacker has cheated out there so he could get underneath the slant. And that means blitz from the safety is probably coming. And even though we're sliding to that Will linebacker in protection, you know what? I'm going to slow down my slide and look for the safety. Do you see what I'm – like stuff like that that you see as a player having done it and having – normally it's having gotten tricked by it, right? You're like, oh, all right, you got me, but you ain't ever getting me again. And those are the things that you can see – they become kind of second nature to you. And a lot of coaches will point stuff like that out. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a coach who his quarterback got sacked because the offensive line slid a protection to a slot. It's a tight end that was split. And they decided to slide out there. And I'll just tell you, it's the Cowboys when Tony Romo got hurt. And so I'm talking to their coordinator, and he's like, yeah, we busted that protection. We were supposed to go to that guy, but they got a little antsy with that slot receiver. And I was like, I'm just going to tell you that in that situation, you got to look at the feet of the guy in coverage. And usually, 9 times out of 10, if his feet are square, and then you got to look over the top, if nobody's over the top, that guy's in man coverage. Like, he can't blitz from that position. And these are things you just learn about the body language of blitzers. And so, you could have saved yourself a lot if you just had this, hey, if this dude is positioned this way, we never turn by the threat. And they were doing what we call cheating and protection, and they did it wrong. And little things like that, are things that are great coaching points, but they come out of players making mistakes like that. One of the Cowboys, mm-hmm. You hope it doesn't get your quarterback wrecked, but eventually you're like, okay, I can see the difference in body language between a blitzer and a non-blitzer.
So shouldn't you empower your assistant coaches, your position coaches, by doing more of this? Bringing in guys like DeMarcus Ware, bringing in very good players at those positions, and maybe they're only there during the offseason. Maybe they're only there during training camp. But they can share some knowledge that it's now up to you as a positional coach. Now you take it and you're doing the grunt work for the remainder of the season. You're making sure the stuff that was brought mm-hmm. up continues to be enforced. So that when it's week 8 and you're looking at film, you can point out to Von Miller, hey, listen, remember what, D. Ware pointed out, okay? Right. Here was a case where you could have done that and you didn't.
Yes.
File that away.
Right.
Let's go back. Alex Gibbs, one of the great, great offensive line coaches of all time, right?
Right.
By the way, what was the extent of his playing career?
He didn't play. He's 160 pounds. Coached offensive line.
Okay. That's awesome. So, you've told stories about how he would always come to you and go, hey, Stank, Mike Shanahan is thinking of doing this. What do you think?
Yeah, this is not my area of expertise. Like, we didn't run counter anywhere I've ever been. I hate counter. I don't mm-hmm. like it. Or, some gap stuff. But you ran a bunch of it in Washington. So what's the footwork? Like, footwork to me is really important on every play. Footwork, hat placement. Hand placement, all that stuff is very important on every play. So we used to sit down and have meetings 5:15 in the morning down in the training room when I'm packed in ice or doing whatever.
So this is what made him a great coach.
Right.
Is because he was more than willing to glean information from guys like you.
Alex Gibbs would be the first guy to tell you, and I heard him say this 100 times. Everything I know about this game, I stole from a player that did it. Everything that I coach came from somebody who was in the trenches that experienced it and told me this is the best way to do it. Nothing is original. Everything is 100% plagiarized from former players. I've heard him say that literally 1,000 times.
But what made him effective was he took what he had learned, plagiarized, stole, whatever, but he presented it in a way in his own inimitable style
mm-hmm.
that made him very effective.
Yes.
But it still all started, it had its roots in getting stuff from guys who played the game at a high level.
Yep.
Well, then, especially for a Broncos team that has been so bad at developing players, this is something you have to do more of.
Absolutely.
They have to. They can't stop at DeMarcus Ware.
No. I talked.
They got to bring in offensive linemen. They got to bring in tight ends. They got to bring in guys who played the position and have them hang around for either if it's just during training camp or they pop in and out during the course of the season. Let them share that perspective and it'll make their coaches better. And if you're not doing that, you're doing these players a disservice. They are not being coached as well as they should be coached. And developed as well as they should be developed.
And a lot of that is because of the CBA, and you just can't. You just don't have the time. That's why this is important. I had this conversation, this exact conversation we're having with John Lynch. John Lynch, now the general manager of the 49ers, Mike Shanahan's son, Kyle, is the head coach. And so John gets, you know, John signs as the GM of the San Francisco 49ers. And I'm like, congratulations, this is awesome, we're having a conversation, thanks Stink Man, I appreciate it. The onus is on you, dude. Like, you have got to be great. Because this game needs former players involved in it. And most of the former players have not wanted to get involved in it because they've been shunned. And because they don't want to, like, you know, for a former player to come in and be relegated to the offensive or defensive quality controlled guy in charge of doing, you know, menial tasks. You look at it like, why would I do that? Like, I know the game. I understand the game. I played the game. But you got to pay your dues, you know, and you got to do all that. To me, is baloney.
Well, then that's the way. Let's shake up the old boys network.
And this is what I told John. The onus is on you. You have to be successful because this game needs more and more former players that love this game, that understand this game, that can help teach this game to its younger generation of players, the real game. And so, you know, good luck. We're all counting on you, John. Don't screw this thing up.
Sounds like Bill Musgrave is ready to adopt my boring is better offensive strategy for the Broncos. That's next. So, boring is better. I want this to catch on. Much like my khaki pants strategy that I developed and just drilled home during the lead up to the draft, to the point where, as much as it was ridiculed, what ended up happening? They were one Bradley Chubb not ending up in their lap unexpectedly pick away from doing exactly what I said. Trading back, accumulating multiple picks, right?
Correct.
Khaki pants. Boom. Well, my new strategy is boring is better for the Broncos offense.
Correct.
And Bill Musgrave, I think without, well, no, I think on purpose, knowingly, came out and endorsed me yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
Well, we want to find that balance for sure, because we don't want to go up to the plate and just bunt, so we don't strike out. We want to have some explosives. We need those chunks. The more chunks you have, the fewer third downs you have to convert. So at the same time, we want to train our quarterbacks to make good decisions. Joe Gibbs used to say when I coached for him, a good quarterback knows what to do when it's there. A great quarterback knows what to do when it's not there. And that's part of this spring. Really, all the OTAs and minicamps are, we're all out here as a team, but it's really for the quarterback to train him on what to do when it's not there. So we can train these guys and not throw those interceptions like you alluded to.
Talked about bunts. He went all baseball there.
Yeah, he did.
Here's how I know that was an endorsement. Here's what I wrote in my column that's available at 1043thefan.com under the title Boring is Better. Quote, look around the NFL. Do you see what's happening? Boring is in. Teams aren't trying to beat you with the home run anymore. They're trying to single and double you to death.
Good for you, bud.
Boom.
So he used a baseball metaphor after you published a blog with baseball metaphor.
Trying to make the case for the boring is better.
Did you hear that, guys? He said, I said, after you published a blog, and he went,
He used it after. No, he used it.
You just admitted that it was a blog.
Oh, you said blog? Sorry, I was.
You have that, Ben?
Sorry, I was too busy patting
clip
myself.
And save.
I was too busy patting myself on the back.
I specifically said blog, and you were
No, I wasn't. No. Whoa.
Can you replay that sound for me?
He used a baseball metaphor after you published a blog with baseball metaphor.
Wait a minute. No. Don't twist that.
All right, Bloggerson.
You're making it sound like I was endorsing your use of blog. No, I was endorsing and agreeing.
That's exactly
with
what you were doing.
Baseball. No.
The lie detector test determined
that was a lie.
Bloggy McBloggerson. He used a baseball metaphor after you published a blog with baseball metaphor.
Yeah, the baseball was all about the baseball, not the blog.
Oh, you just said it was a blog. He just said it was a blog.
You're amazing.
Correct.
You're amazing. Anywho.
Winning.
Anywho.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, I mean, I'm just, the idea is that I think you need to embrace, I think people need to embrace what the new NFL is when it comes to offensive football and the designs, the concepts, and the attitude, the way that it's being coached. Teams are erring on the side of caution instead of going for it. And yeah, I'm saying it's boring, but really what it is, it's the other buzzwords are efficient, high percentage, control what we can control,
right.
Take what we can get, take what's given to us. Buzzwords and phrases, but basically you kind of put it under the umbrella that, look, teams are trying to dial it back offensively, take less chances with the idea that they can be super efficient.
That's boring, folks.
That's a boring approach.
But effective. This is why when you look at completion percentages today, why there's so many guys 65 to 71, 72. Like, you look at that, back in the day, that's unheard of. I mean, because offense was different. A seven-step drop, push the ball down the football field. You know, deep digs and the deep outs and, you know, all those things. That's not offensive football anymore. It's not the way it's run. So that's why it's really alarming when you have a guy, you know, like Cam Newton completing 53 or 52% right. of his passes. In today's NFL, that should never be. Like, that is so woefully inadequate in the way that the offenses of today are run in the National Football League. This is why, you know, so many people were mad at me about my whole comment about Baker Mayfield completing 71%. I mean, he walks into a game and he's 15 for 15 because of, you know, the bubble screens and the swing passes and the shallow crossing routes that he's going to throw. You know, there are middle screens and smoke routes and, So anyhow, that's kind of, in my mind, one of the things that should be alarming to you in this day and age, the NFL. I mean, when you're only completing 59 to 60, 61%, it means that in your opportunities to actually push the ball down the field, you're missing those opportunities way too often. Like, you should be in that mid-60s, you know, that's, you gotta be 63 plus.
Sure, and take what went down with poor Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's completion percentage in college was debated endlessly.
Mm-hmm.
As somehow this guy is an inferior quarterback because he couldn't complete 60% of his passes. These days, unless you're up around 65, you're trash, right?
Yeah.
Well, how do you think you get to 65?
Right.
You think you're going to get to 65 by winging the ball all over the field?
Mm-hmm.
No way. You get to 65 by being safe, by being efficient, by taking what the defense gives you, by realizing that a 5-yard swing pass is just as good and probably a safer, more high percentage play than trying to get a 5-yard run.
Especially with everything spread into space, now a premium becomes on tackling. And, you know, we can get you on a one-on-one on the outside, and it's a, you know, it's a pass that's 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and you break one tackle, if you're a guy that has the ability to break tackles, and this league is not known for great tackling anyhow. I mean, I've always said this about defense, Mike. If you just tackle well, I mean, if that's all you do, you don't have to have a star player. If you're just the most efficient tackling team in football, you're going to end up pretty good statistically. You're going to end up in the top, 12. That's all you do, at least in scoring defense, because you're going to shoot yourself in the foot at some point. If a team makes you go 8 to 12 plays, the odds of 8 to 12 plays ending up in a touchdown, not very good. I don't know what the statistics are, but usually those touchdown drives are 6-7 plays because you have one big chunk play in there, 22-yard touchdown, boom, whatever it is. But, to put 10-12 plays together, let's call it 10 or 12 plays, it's really hard to do and not have a holding call or an offsides that puts you in a first and 15 or a first and 20 or a second down and 17. That's really hard to overcome. And so if all you did was focus on tackling and you tackled well and there were no yak yardage situations, you would have a really efficient defense.
And to the notion that advocating boring is somehow just asking for more of the same from the last couple of years. No, no, no. The Broncos have not been boring the last couple of years. They've been dysfunctional. They've lacked an identity. And they have been mistake prone. So here to me is the key number. You're talking about a league in which the NFL is sending a very clear message offensively. We want our quarterbacks to be throwing somewhere between 7 or 8 and 12 interceptions max per season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Keep that number in mind. 8 to 12, right?
Okay.
The Broncos over the last 3 years have thrown 47 interceptions.
Yeah.
Do the math.
No,
okay. No, you don't want to
that
do the
would
math.
Require
no,
skill.
No, that.
Okay, 47. 47 divided by 3. 3 times 10 would be 30. Right? 3 times 11
it's about 16. It's about 16 a year.
Ball security is job security.
Last year, they had 22 interceptions.
Mm.
Again, you want to be in that sweet spot of about 8 to 12. They had 22.
Yeah. They ain't getting it
Their
done.
Team themselves only picked off 10. They were negative 12 in just interceptions alone. So they weren't boring the last few years.
They're just bad.
Just bad. There you go. So if you can get to being boring, boring works in today's NFL. Boring is the plan in today's NFL. Boring is what's coached and designed and schemed in today's NFL.
Sorry, Hans, wrong guess.
And you're right.
Millennium Ben. Millennial Ben.
Millennial Ben.
He just wants to chuck it down the field. Give me instant gratification.
And he wants automatic explosion. You know what else is explosive? Diarrhea. You don't want it every day, Ben. All right? We can go to break on that.
That is not in my column. That's in Mark's column. Oh, he's all upset now.
No, he's all
upset. He's all upset.
He's so mature.
So, yeah, exactly. What about this rumor going around that LeBron James might be interested in the Nuggets? Seriously? Child, please. That's next. So, Earl Boykins, very popular Nugget player when he was here. Did a lot of stuff with Big Al and D-Mac in the afternoon, talking hoops over the years.
He's not tall.
Oh, he is
not. He's not tall.
No, 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 no. He is diminutive. But he did play for a short time with LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
And he has come out and said, in his opinion, there's a 40% chance that LeBron James signs with the Nuggets as a free agent. The idea that he recognizes the brilliance of Nikola Jokic, the up-and-coming nature of a guy like Jamal Murray, the solidness of a guy like Gary Harris, And that is a wagon that he'd like to attach himself to, figuring that those guys' skills would mesh well with him and give him a chance to win another title. What do you think?
I think that that is poppycock.
Oh, poppycock, you say?
Yes.
Why is it poppycock?
I just don't think there's any way, if he was going to come to the West, if he was going to come play in the Western Division, in the Western Conference, I think there's one team that he would go to. That's to Houston.
Why?
Well, I just think that you look at having James Harden, having him there, the pieces of the puzzle, they almost beat the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. That would give him the best chance to compete in the West. I just think there's too much work to be done here. I think he stays in the East. Obviously, there's a couple. I think the Lakers, people have said the Lakers, but doesn't that just seem too dysfunctional? Don't the Lakers just seem really dysfunctional?
But isn't LeBron the kind of put-you-over-the-top type player that there are a number of teams around the league that have enough of the makings or a semblance of a core, mm-hmm, that if you add him to the mix instantaneously, that team becomes the favorite? You know, I could point to a lot of teams around the NBA that would appear to be middling type teams.
Okay.
That if all of a sudden I said, okay, take what they have, but now add LeBron to it, what do you got? And look, you take, like, I don't believe that the core of Jokic, Murray, and Harris by themselves will ever be a championship core. Okay? But you take those three and add LeBron.
Would LeBron?
Now they instantaneously are.
Would LeBron, added to the Nuggets as they're currently constructed right now, put them over the top in the West?
They
better
would,
than the Warriors
know.
Or the or the
no, they
the
would
Rockets.
Not be. They would not. Be, I, yes, they'd be better than the Rockets. Yes, I believe that. Child, please. I do believe that. Because here's the thing. We know that when the going gets tough, LeBron gets going, and he would rather join up with a team that's ready to win rather than go through the hardship of trying to, you know, rebuild around him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he also needs to pick his spots and understand, you know, can I go to a place where I can exist with the star that's already there? James Harden demands the ball, wants the ball, has the ball all the time. Are they going to be able to coexist?
So you're saying LeBron
I'm dreaming here. Okay, I'm doing a little dreaming. But we know Nikola Jokic well enough to know that Jokic is fine with having games in which he only takes 7 or 8 shots a game. He's okay with that.
So you believe?
So I think a guy like LeBron might look at a guy like Jokic and say, "Hey, here's a guy I can play off of. I can still be the alpha dog." And he's going to make me a better player. Or keep me at a certain level.
Right. He's the future. Sign him now and let him lead the way.
What do you think? Am I?
Show him Joker, Murray, Harris, and all the possess. I think that you're crazy.
But can you beat the Warriors? No.
I think you're crazy. Yeah, would you rather lose to the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, or would you rather play them in the NBA Finals? NBA Final. You're going to the East. Come on, Philly. All that they have in Philly right now with Ben Simmons and with what's the tall dude's name?
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid.
Or what if Danny Ainge says, "Hey, LeBron, I'll trade Kyrie. Get him out of the way. And you can come in here and team up with Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward."
Why does LeBron and Kyrie dislike each other so much?
Kyrie wants to be the man.
Are you sure it's not because the world is flat? I think it's the flat world.
Okay, you are not going to draw me into that one.
Kyrie believes the world's flat.
Okay. You did it. Right. So what exactly does the edge of the flat earth look like? So as you're approaching the end of the earth,
right?
What is it? What's there?
Stairs.
Where do the stairs go?
Well, there's upward stairs and there's downward stairs. There's a downward stairs,
huh?
That you don't want to go down.
Uh-huh.
It's the underworld.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But then there is the stairway to heaven at the end of the earth.
Oh, jeez. Anyway.
You're just walking along the earth and you're like, I'm going on a sojourn. See you around sometime. You're kind of like Forrest Gump. Running, running. And then all of a sudden you get to the end and there it is. That staircase. I ran out of room. Take your little leg braces off. You say, I'm tired of running. And I'm just going to take this staircase. Take it up. Go up. I'm down.
Up, up, Boris, up.
And you're walking up that stairway to heaven.
Oh my goodness.
You shouldn't do that again.
Something in my throat.
All right, anyway. So 40% chance? Where would you put it at?
7%.
Seven?
Seven.
So you are saying there's a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One in a million.
Yeah, 40 does seem a bit high.
Yeah, it does.
40 does seem a bit high. Always thinking about hoops is the one and only Cecil Lammy, who always has an edition of his Air Jordans on. By the way, today on this date that Michael Jordan hit that iconic shot where he pushed off on Byron Russell and hit the shot to beat Utah in the NBA Finals.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Did I say he pushed off? Was that?
Right.
Was I thinking out loud?
I was just thinking. Why are the NBA Finals not still going on then? And then I realized, oh yeah, that was a sweep of the Cavs.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Snap. Okay. Speaking of Cecil, he's ready to go with the hardworking Mike Pritchard, who's been doing double time this week, not only doing their show, but also sitting in with Big Al for the Buff Report, during the afternoon.
Oh yeah!
Pritch and Cecil coming your way next.